is a reading from the letter of James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of bird and beast, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So today we'll be speaking about the tongue, following our sermon series on the book of James. As all of you know by now, that James was written at around 65 AD, 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus. He writes to 12 churches dispersed throughout the nations, mature Christians. Christians who have been Christians for a long time. Christians who, as we saw in James 1, questioned the goodness of God in light of the evil in this world. As we saw in James 2, who struggled to live out their faith, or substituted their good works for faith. To which James says, good works need to be the reflex reaction of your faith. Today's sermon is on James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, and it's entitled, Who Controls Your Rudder? My sermon will follow three simple points. The tongue that reveals us, the tongue that controls us and others, and the tongue that is controlled by God. So I thought I'd start with another joke this morning before we get into the serious stuff. Jane was looking out into her neighbor's house in the morning through her window, and she looks to her husband and she says, you know, our neighbor's husband always kisses his wife before he goes to work. Why don't you do the same thing? And the husband looks at Jane and says, well, how can I? I don't know her. The words we say reveal who we are. If we get ticked off and begin blaming and yelling at others, it shows the anger on the inside. If we speak against someone's ideas, call it stupid and dumb, and say, well, I can do it better, it shows us the pride that we hold in our hearts and how proud we are in our own abilities. If we are in love, the words we speak about our beloved flows out of our hearts, from the depths of our soul, like the man in the video, and reveals our heart. The tongue reveals us and our hearts. In the reading today, James doesn't simply say, watch the words you speak, but asks, where do these words come from? It comes from the heart. It comes from our core. It comes from who we are. The little tongue rudder moves at the control of the captain. So who is your captain? And where is the captain leading the ship? Point two, the tongue that directs our lives and others. James says, we all fall short of perfection, but anyone who's never at fault in what they say is perfect and able to keep their whole body in check Ooh, that's a bold statement. The Greek word for body is soma. And which reading today doesn't refer to the physical body, but the entire way a person lives. If we're able to control our tongue, what we say, then the entire way of living could just be perfect. You mean if I could say all the right things, Noel, at all the right times, I could live the perfect life? Yeah, absolutely. But the problem, as James says, is we have a tongue that we control. It's impossible. It's impossible. And we all have, at some point or another, have said something clumsy or just have shown how imperfect we actually are. In 1847, a Viennese obstetrician, Eganik Semmelweis, famously deduced that by not washing hands consistently or well enough, doctors were themselves to be blamed for maternal death in childbirth by something called childbed fever, which caused 20% of maternal deaths. In 1847. So this guy would stand, this doctor would stand beside the sink and start yelling at people, saying, wash your hands, scrub your hands properly, do this. And truth be told, 20% dropped to 1% simply because doctors washed their hands. But people began avoiding him. He actually wrote a letter to a professor who was teaching against his theory. And you should hear what he says. He writes a letter. He says, should you, Herr Hofrath, without having disproved my doctrine, continue to teach your pupils against it? I declare before God and the world that you are a murderer. And the history of childbed fever would not be unjust to you if it memorialized you as a medical Nero. Oh, this didn't help his actual situation. He was fired. He was fired, and immediately 1% grew back to 20%. It took 20 years. And somebody else called Joseph Lister to write in a medical journal in a more persuasive and respectful way for antisepsis and surgery for people to recognize what was being said. It's not just saying what you know and speaking it. It's speaking and saying what you know in a way that can actually be of benefit. At some point or another, we have all been like Dr. Semmelweis, having the truth, but not saying it well, yelling and screaming and being proud. James asks, who is controlling your rudder, your tongue? Who is in your heart leading the words that lead your life? For out of a good heart comes kind words. A word of gossip tears down friendships. Hurtful words breaks marriages. Slander puts people in jail for life or insults the dead further. You would have heard of Botham Jean in the news. Anyone heard of him? He was killed by a cop, an off-duty cop, who thought he was in her house. Right? And now Fox News, headlines saying they found marijuana in Botham's house. The man's, he's been murdered. And now there's slander, trying to cover up, trying to justify a crime by an off-duty cop. Sticks and stones may break my bones, you've heard it say, but words will never hurt me. But sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can also hurt me. Sticks and stones break only skin while words are ghosts that taunt me. Pain from words that has left its scar on mind and heart that's tender. Cuts and bruises now have healed, but it's words that I remember. Words that we speak, words that are spoken, not only control our lives, but affect those around us, a community. 20% of maternal deaths caused by one man's inability to speak differently. To us, James asks, who is controlling your heart, your tongue? If it's us, James says, we are depraved in our hearts. We will do anything to get out of anything. We will say anything not to have the blame on us. We are a fallen people. When I was younger, my first lie ever told was when I was about 3 years old, did you eat that candy? I said no. We will do anything to get out of anything. We will say anything not to have the blame on us. However, God on the cross took the blame on himself, even though he was blameless. Jesus took on himself the harsh words that were meant for us and bore the guilt of the untamed tongue. Although he was the only person with the perfectly tamed tongue. To the woman with the five husbands, shunned by her community for being a harlot, he uses words to heal her broken world. And through his perfect words, brings an entire town to faith through her. To Peter in John chapter 21, Jesus, after Peter's greatest failure, Jesus spoke tender words to bring healing to his heart and restores a broken relationship. To the lame man who Jesus heals, he doesn't simply say, you're healed, go on. In love, he instructs the man who has never in his life walked before, and he says, hey, get up. Here's how you do it. Pick up your mat. Here's how you do it. Now walk. Here's how you do it. To Lazarus, such beautiful yet heartbroken words cause dry bones to live again. If we are to tame our tongues, James says we are to give over the control of our speech to the one who has perfected words. After all, God was the one who spoke creation into being. My church, humanity in its core is in need of redemption. We have to let go of our control and let God control our hearts. We are in need of a conversion of our own hearts. Conversion isn't simply something that people from other religions do to come to our religion. But to a Christian, it's a turn and constant return to God, who calls us to himself. If we give our hearts to him, if we stop trying to control everything ourselves and give the control, give the captainship, if that's even a word, of our hearts to God, our rudder, our tongue, our speech will be good. For out of a heart, good heart, comes kind words. Out of a heart controlled by God comes healing, restoration, and a new creation. And so I want to leave you with three ways of giving the control of our rudder to God, our captain. And they all come from the book of Proverbs. One, stay silent, it says. For even a fool who holds his tongue may be considered wise. We don't have to speak the last word. Learn the value
of silence. Wait before you state. Point two, you could be right in what you say. You know, what you say could be absolutely true. But if you don't speak in love, you will not speak life. It's not what you say, but how you say it. Or, if you can't speak life, don't speak and cause strife. And finally, in Proverbs again, it says, think before you speak, because once you say something, you can never take it back. Pray before you say. Wait before you state. If you cannot speak life, don't speak and cause strife. And pray before you say. Shall we pray?